The Word of Truth broadcast, sponsored by Mount Zion Bible Church of Pensacola, Florida. This is Pastor Eli Shelton Jr. speaking. We count the privilege to be able to come to your home again today with the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. This weekly broadcast of the Word of Truth is dedicated to the teaching and preaching of the Word of God as it is to men as they are, for the sole purpose of the glorification of our triune God, the edification of God's people, and the salvation of lost souls. We give you an invitation to meet with us each week at this time to partake of God's Word together. Greetings in the name of our lovely Lord, whose we are and whom we serve. Welcome again to another Word of Truth broadcast. Our Bible reading will be found in John's first epistle, chapter 3, beginning with verse 4. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is a transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, how good and how gracious and merciful thou art unto us. Thou hast given to us the Lord Jesus Christ as our sin-bearer, our Redeemer, our Lord and our Deliverer. Thou hast given the Holy Spirit unto us as our indwelling salvation, our Comforter, the one who takes the things of Christ and reveals them unto our heart. And how precious and gracious Thou art, our triune God, that Thou dost come to dwell within us by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is our all and in all, and we praise thee and thank thee for him and his work. And as we come to thee for this audience today, asking that thou would take that word home that will be delivered, and oh, search our hearts and try the reins of our heart and see if there be any wicked way in us that we may walk in a way everlasting. Help us, Lord. Deliver us, Lord. Keep us that we may walk in a way that is pleasing unto thee, and work effectually in our hearts, for it is in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.
Sing, O sing, O Lord.
We give thanks unto the Lord for what He's done, for truly in His redemption we are saved by His marvelous grace. He's coming to get us. This is our hope that He has given us in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we praise the Lord for this blessed, blessed hope. We say thanks for your letters and gifts received this past week for the encouragement and support of this Word of Truth broadcast. We praise God for the way He's working and many, many hearts. And we desire to hear from you as to know how God is working in your heart. We'd be happy for you to write us and let us know how God is using these messages in your soul. Also, we would like to put our free book that we're offering this month in your hands. It's entitled A Call to Holiness by J.C. Ryle. A little book that you would desire to have. A gracious, blessed book as he goes in to show how God brings us into the state of holiness, state of sanctification, and how God draws us on by His marvelous grace into this place of growth, this place of full assurance. We would desire to put this book in your home that you may be able to read it. It would certainly bless you. This will be the last time that we offer it. A little book entitled A Call to Holiness by J.C. Ryle. It's yours free and postpaid if you will write us. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. And now for God's message. My dear friends, for the past weeks we've been studying with you from God's Holy Word what the Scriptures teach concerning the meaning of decision for Christ. I believe the Holy Spirit has been pleased to take His Word home to our hearts. I know He has mine, as He has searched it. And I do know that this message that He has given us for today is one that has searched my heart, and I pray that He will search yours also. It is another message on the warnings from God's Word about Christian profession and decision, looking again at decision for Christ. What does it mean? And of course, going into such a subject, we must look at it both positively and negatively, trust in the Holy Spirit to open our hearts and let us see where we stand. Dear friend, let me state it again today. We're living in a time when mere lip profession is taken for salvation, and the majority of professing Christians never test their so-called Christian life by the searching Word of God. They know nothing of the work of the Holy Spirit in His work of conviction, much less the holy happiness which God's people enjoy here on earth in the Lord Jesus Christ. Having a mere lip profession, they know nothing of the reality of Christ, the reality of sin, the reality of a sin-hating God, the reality of His demands of repentance and faith, and therefore they know nothing of the blessed reality of the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, dear friend, the eternal fact that God requires more from us than mere lip profession is taught clearly in God's Word and should cause us to search our hearts and determine if we are truly in Christ and Christ be in us, and if we are truly building our life upon the Lord Jesus, the solid rock. As I said before, these messages have searched the very depths of my soul, and I trust they will search yours also. I don't know whether you know it or not, my friend. I'm going to tell you. My heart goes out to you who do not know Christ. My heart goes out to you who have been trying for weeks and months and years to make Christ precious and real to your souls, and yet do not know Him in reality. I know you have done all that the preacher of the personal soul winner has told you to do. You have believed to the best of your ability, and you have repeated the sinner's prayer and made a decision, maybe been baptized and turned over a new leaf, but there's an emptiness, there's a void in your life, and this is the reason the so-called deeper life movement of our day has taken such hold upon professing Christendoms, and they get down seeking what they call the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because they say, well, maybe this is what I need, because I find no reality in my life. And my heart goes out to you, because I went all these routes. I tried all of this. But this wasn't what I needed. I needed to come to the knowledge of the truth that I was a lost sinner. Well, you see, there is one thing that God does for us when He saves us. The saving faith that God gives us to believe upon His Son with is a faith that lays hold of the living Christ. He becomes a living reality to our hearts. You see, the faith of God's elect is the faith of the Lord Jesus. It is given to us by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, it justifies us before God and causes us to know that in Christ we have been freely forgiven of all of our sins and been made a partaker of God's divine nature, which therefore enables us to have that living union and communion with God the Father, with the Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer and our Savior, and with the Holy Spirit, our indwelling salvation and our Comforter. And this is the reason we preach as we do, drawing the line of demarcation, for we do know that there have been countless millions upon millions who have been deceived in God's way of salvation, and they know nothing about the straight gate and the narrow way, and they've done all that the professional religionist preachers and soul winners have told them to do. And yet they say, what lack I? What am I lacking? Well, brethren, you're lacking the fundamentals. You've never come to the place that you were lost. You've never quit your striving and rested by faith in the Lord Jesus. And we'd like to go back again today then, along this line, to Matthew chapter 7, verses 21, 22, and 23. Which word was given by the Lord of glory Himself, and lets us know that He demands more from us than just lip profession. For He warns us that there must be a change of heart, and thus must be a change of life, and there must be someone to come to dwell within us, so that we will constantly, or try by the grace of God, to constantly do the will of the Father which is in heaven. Listen to what our Lord said. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. We find here our Lord's warning then against the terrible danger of self-deception. You see, these people, according to our Lord, are going to be astonished at the day of judgment when they find out that they have assumed that they had something that they'd never had. They were quite certain that they had salvation. Did not somebody tell them that they did? Did not certain verses of Scripture in the Bible tell them that they had it? And so we come to the fact, my friend, of trying to lay before your hearts today the reason why these individuals assumed that all was well and what their grounds of hope, their hope for heaven was. And you ask, Pastor, what is it? I'll answer, it was upon the grounds that they were saying, Lord, Lord. I grant you that they were orthodox, for they were saying the right things, Lord, Lord. I would grant you that they were fervent and stood out for His name because they were saying, Lord, Lord. I grant you that they were zealous, for they did many wonderful works in His name. They prophesied and preached in His name. They cast out devils in His name. They did many wonderful works in His name. But yet, He admitted to them, or will admit them, to them in that great last great day, that they are lost. They were never saved. And my friend, I didn't say this. Our Lord said it. Let me read it to you again. Our Lord speaking at the close of the Sermon on the Mount, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter in the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And my friend, this is the terrible danger of self-deception. Our Lord said it himself. He judges them and so warns us of the terrible danger of self-deception. And with this word, my friend, he speaks to our hearts. You see, we must assume that they were perfectly happy about themselves, quite assured about their whole position, and never suspected for a second that there was any fault of fine in them. They will turn to our Lord in that day of judgment and said, surely, Lord, you know our record. Don't you remember all that we said and did in your name? They're individuals who have no doubt about themselves, and they were perfectly happy. They were quite assured that all was well. It had never crossed their minds even to contemplate the possibility that they would be anything but Christians and saved people, heirs of glory and of eternal bliss. And yet our Lord says that they were lost. He professed to them in that day, I never knew you. I never had anything to do with you. You were not mine. Is not this a terrible word of warning? Many will go to hell from the very gates of heaven because all they had was a mere lip profession of Christ. They had nothing in the soul. My friend, this is a solemn word, isn't it? I'd like to drive that home. A solemn word spoken to our hearts that we would not be self-deceived and not try, and that we would try everything we had by the Word of God. I know you're asking the question, Pastor, what are some of the common causes of self-deception in this matter of salvation, in this matter of decision or profession of the Lord Jesus Christ? Will you listen? I'll try to answer you. There is first here a false doctrine of assurance. You see, there is the tendency to base our assurance only upon certain statements which we ourselves make. Listen to me now. I'm not critical. I'm trying to help you. Oh, that God would undeceive every soul that is not truly anchored in the Lord Jesus Christ. Get it again. There is the tendency to base our assurance only upon certain statements which we ourselves make. There are those who say, Scripture says that he that believes on him is not condemned, but shall receive everlasting life. And that's right. There are those who said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And that's right. There are those who say, whosoever believeth in his heart and confesses with his mouth shall be saved. And that's right. But my dear friend, you interpret such statements as meaning that as long as you acknowledge and say certain things about the Lord Jesus Christ, that you are automatically saved. As long as you repeat a certain formula and repeat certain scriptures, then you've done all that you're supposed to do, and you're safe and saved forever. But my friend, this error is false assurance. You see, the man who is truly saved and who has genuine assurance of salvation does make and must make these very same statements from his heart. But the mere making of these statements does not of necessity guarantee nor assure a man of his salvation. You see, the believer, the Christian, does say these things, but he does not stop at merely saying them. He makes sure that they are truly based upon the work of God's grace in his heart. His assurance is not based upon his merely saying these scriptures. Listen to me now. But is based upon the work of Christ for him in redemption upon the cross and being justified because Christ rose from the dead. This is what he bases salvation upon Christ, upon his work, and the work of the Holy Spirit in him. His assurance is drawn from the eternal Word of God, made real to him as a hell-deserving sinner. He does not rest until he makes his calling and election sure. My friend, is that clear? I'm trying to make it as clear as I can. Let no man deceive himself. The moment that we begin to rest our faith solely upon repeating a formula, without being sure that we have been born from above by the operation of the Holy Spirit of God and the Word of God in our hearts, and that we have evidence in our life of God within us, we are then exposing ourselves to this terrible danger of self-delusion. May God take this home to our heart. I don't want any of you under this ministry to go away and say that I falsified God's way of salvation. I said the Word of God says there must be a work of grace in our hearts. I know that there are many who say, do not listen to your conscience. If you have said that, you have believed, if you have done what you're supposed to do, and you have said these scriptures, then you're saved. That's enough. But my friend, that is not enough, for many will say, Lord, Lord. But he will say, I never knew you. So just quoting a few verses of Scripture and saying, Lord, Lord, is not enough. For he says, I never knew you. Depart from me, that work iniquity. Therefore, I say unto you today that a superficial doctrine of assurance, or a false doctrine of assurance, is the most common cause of self-delusion. Another cause of this self-delusion follows right on the heels of the first. It is the refusal to examine ourselves. You see, self-examination is not popular today, especially among those who call themselves evangelical Christians. We find that when we look at the matter today, that these people not only object to self-examination, but most of them regard it as almost sinful. Their argument is that a Christian should look only to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I say that that's right. But he also must look to himself. They interpret this as meaning that he should not examine himself. They regard examining oneself as looking to oneself, and this is wrong. This is not scriptural. But my dear friend, Scripture constantly exhorts us to examine ourselves, to prove to our own selves whether we are in the faith or whether we are reprobates. God's Word tells us to do this for a very good reason. It is the terrible danger of drifting into antinomianism, that is, into holding to the doctrines of grace, that as long as a man believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, it does not matter what he does, that if a man is saved, it does not matter what kind of life he lives. You see, antinomianism holds to the doctrine that the moment you begin to concentrate on behavior, you're putting yourself back under the law. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, it is said, and that all is well then. But my friend, that is the very thing that the Lord is warning us against here in these scriptures in Matthew 7. The fatal danger of resting only in what we say and forgetting that the essential thing about Christianity is that it is a life to be lived. That it is a life of God in the soul of man, and that the Christian is a partaker of the divine nature of God, and this of necessity must be manifested in his daily life, in a walk of righteousness and true holiness, a hatred for sin, and a desire to be through with sin, and to be holy as God is holy. Can I repeat that again? I believe it's well worth repeating. You see, antinomianism holds to the doctrine that the moment you begin to concentrate on behavior, you are putting yourself back under the law. They say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and all is well. My friend, that is the very thing that the Lord is warning us against in these scriptures in Matthew 7. The fatal danger of trusting only in what we say and forgetting that the essential thing about Christianity is that it is a life to be lived, that it is the life of God in the soul of man, that the Christian is a partaker of the divine nature of God, and that this of necessity must be manifested in his daily life in a walk of righteousness and true holiness, a hatred for sin and a desire to be through with sin and to be holy as God is holy. Oh, I pray that the Lord would take this home to our hearts. I believe if we go to the epistle of 1 John, we will find that this epistle was written to correct this very danger. It has in mind those people who were very ready to say certain things, but whose lives were a blatant contradiction to what they professed. Let each one of us examine ourselves by the Word of God. We find in 1 John 3:9, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. And in 1 John 5:18, whosoever is born of God sinneth not. We are told here that a man who is born again doth not make sin the practice and root of his life. He does not commit sin as a habit anymore. He no longer sins with his heart and will and his whole inclinations as he did when he was an unregenerated man. Why? Because he's been saved. You see, there is no quarrel between him and sin. They're not friends anymore. There was no quarrel between him and sin. They were friends. Now he hates it. He flees from it. He fights against it. Sin and him are no longer friends. He counts it his greatest plague. He groans under the burden of its presence. He mourns when he falls under its influence and longs to be delivered from it altogether. Sin no longer pleases him, nor is even a matter of indifference to him. It has become the abominable thing which he hates, and therefore he desires to get rid of it. I ask you a question. What is your attitude towards sin? Do you hate it? Let us examine ourselves and see where we be in the faith. In this one thing, do we hate sin and desire to walk in the Word of the Lord? We'll have to continue this next week. We weren't able to get to it all today. Going through the book of 1 John and seeing how that it was written to correct this very danger. You'll want a copy of these messages, so write and ask for them. They're free and postpaid. Decision for Christ, what does it mean? Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. We're happy that you've been with us. Until this time next week, goodbye, and may God bless you.